I cried a lot over the last 2 weeks, yeah. Oh, it's everything, actually. It's joy, it's sadness, it's happiness. It's, yeah, it's everything at once.
I was happy to push myself and to try to do my best, and I wanted to do it within 15 days, so I think mission accomplished.
Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 15 at TCO number 12 and Skipper's Bar in Kalamata, the finish line venue for this year's race, is starting to swell with happy, satisfied riders. In this episode, we'll hear more stories from those who've just arrived, as well as some who continue to pedal their way south. Let's start with Andrew Phillips, Cap 00A, who, and this is the last time I need to clarify his ride, is one of the Lost Dot team riding outside of general classification. He started the race alongside his race partner, John Endres, but after John had to scratch, Andrew has been riding alone, trying to explore the why of ultra racing. What's the point? Andrew has Kalamata in his sights, and perhaps an answer to that question too.
I am at the top of the final climb. It's the most incredible view of the race, probably. The mountains of the Peloponnese are stretching out below. The climb was beautiful, and I'm kind of starting to process the fact that I started this ride in northern Norway, and I'm about to finish it in the Mediterranean 2 weeks later. And I'm finally starting to permit myself to feel that euphoria. I just sat up in my saddle, stretched my arms wide, and just took in my landscape. It's incredible, and it's such a privilege to be able to do. It's, yeah, I've had so many ups and downs, but the high of today and the last few days, it's just been incredible. And yeah, so glad I've been able to do this.
Waiting at the finish line for Andrew and all the other riders on the road is Control Team 2. As always, here's race reporter Sophie Potter.
We are here in Kalamata, finally. We arrived there last night and enjoyed our first proper like seated meal in Greece. So hurry up, because yeah, the food is very good. I'm here at the finish line now. It's a restaurant facing the marina, so it's really quiet, it's really cool, and there is a beach just behind it. So yesterday we enjoyed a midnight deep in the Mediterranean Sea. And yeah, riders are here chilling around, like getting coffee, ordering food, after food, after food, after food, basically, like rest. Eat, sleep. This is what they are doing now, and there is like a lot of fashion award to be given around here. So yeah, stay here for the next few days, because the catwalk is going to become more and more interesting.
In the early hours, Katharina Wurst, Cap 199, finished off a brilliant ride by arriving in Kalamata to take the final spot in our top five Flinter riders. She's off getting some rest, but is followed this morning by Nicole van Battenberg, Cap 29, sixth in the Flinter category, but number one in the hearts of ice cream vendors across Europe.
And I'm not gonna eat any ice cream or Monster Energy for the upcoming year.
But have you reached 100?
No.
This is what we want to know.
It was impossible.
What's the number?
94.
We can get you six ice creams in here, I'm sure of it.
Go to the newsagents now. Yeah. Get some ice creams and then come back and get your brevet.
Don't give us your brevet card yet.
I was thinking about it, just going somewhere. And then, but I'm actually done with ice cream.
Yeah.
I bought like six at once and then I ate them.
Yeah.
I mean, like I put them in my bra, in my side pockets, and then I just keep eating. It was nice.
In the first couple of days of racing, Jana Kessenheimer, cap number 10, decided to race outside of general classification to instead ride with her partner, Christian Holweck, cap 14. Sarah Boslett, cap 120, lost her own partner, Mohit Kohli, who was killed in a collision 2 years ago. She rode brilliantly to win this year's inaugural Flinter race at TCO number 12. Jana is amongst the riders at the finish line, and she caught up with Sophie.
I mean, this might sound a little bit cheesy or emotional, and I always almost have to cry when I speak it out, but I also thought of Sarah, because if she would have the opportunity to ride with her partner, with Mohit, she would definitely choose that. And I thought a lot about that, that it's a privilege having the opportunity to share it. And if she could have the decision, it would be clear for her. So I felt like I should do whatever my heart tells me. And of course, also I tracked the Flinter race, and I found it so cool how close it was again, and to have a real neck-to-neck race. And knowing how this feels also from last year with Cynthia, I know that it helps to just give it all, and I'm really grateful that the women in front could make this experience this year.
Mm.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about the Flinter category?
Yeah, I think it's really important to have the Flinter category. It just pays the respect, like it's a real race. I know that it feels different to race against other genders. Like I always told myself that I'm racing just against everyone when I'm racing. And of course, this is what I'm also doing or what others might be doing, but racing against another Flinter person is just different. Like, it feels more equal. And so I think having a real Flinter category is more inclusive and definitely what it's needed.
Marcus Zimmermann, cap 174, arrives at the finish line too. For him, the TCR will always have extra meaning.
Actually, today is the second anniversary of my father's death. He took his life 2 years ago after suffering depression for almost a year, and he couldn't handle it. And last year, TCR meant a lot to me, getting over this a little bit, I think. And maybe there was more motivation last year than this year, I would say. Yeah.
I remember you telling me, on the finish line last year,
yeah,
that you hope he would have found something
as meaningful as the TCR, and something as life-changing as the TCR. It's so hard to describe what those races mean to probably all of us. They are such a huge challenge, and they push you forward in life, I think. And having something like this is really important, I think, for everyone. It doesn't necessarily have to be the TCR, it can be anything, but I said I would hope my father would have found something like this, yeah.
Completing the TCR is an emotional business. It's not just the culmination of 2 weeks in the saddle, but a moment to celebrate months, if not years, of hard work and dedication. Frankly, it can all be a bit much. Daniel Schultz-Voltrup, cap 342.
I was crying all downhill, all the time.
Why were you crying?
It was just everything goes through your mind. What happened the last few days, months, everything, and you just can't comprehend what just happened. So it's crazy.
So crying helps.
Yeah, a lot. I cried a lot over the last 2 weeks, yeah. It was good.
What are those tears? Happiness?
Oh, it's everything, actually. It's joy, it's sadness, it's happiness. It's everything at once. So, yeah, it's very nice. I really enjoyed it. also the sad moments and sad tears, yeah. Very good.
Did you know you could do it?
Say again?
Did you know you could do it?
Yeah, I knew it. I knew I could do it. But actually making it is something else.
It's nice to prove yourself right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, crazy. Lost for words.
If you had to describe TCR in one word, what could it be?
Everything. Just everything. That's the word.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you learned something?
I learned a lot about myself. About my self-worth, I would say. About being myself. And it's... Yeah. And that everything will be fine in the end. Yeah.
Is this something you're going to bring into your daily life? Or?
I think so, yeah. Definitely. It made me a lot stronger, I think. Yeah.
Of course, many riders are welcomed into the finish by friends and family who've joined them to mark their achievement. Sophie spoke to Lena, Daniel's partner.
I'm so happy. I'm so proud. I don't know. I had to cry when he arrived here too because there are so much emotions. I can feel a little bit of this with him and I'm just so happy. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, are you maybe relieved as well?
Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's so crazy, the route, and the whole 2 weeks were so crazy. I always watched on the phone, and you can feel a little bit, you can see a little bit, but not that much, and there can happen so much. So I'm just relieved and happy that he's here now.
Yeah, well, I wish you a happy holiday then.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bjorn Bersching, Cap 302, is enjoying the atmosphere at the finish line.
How is the vibe on the finish line?
The vibe is very good. I think it's always nice after an ultra race to hang around with other people, share the stories, and meet new people. It's super nice. Yeah.
Have you seen the people you've been maybe bumping into each other like while riding?
Yeah, most of them.
Did you recognize them without the helmet?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
If you had to describe TCR in one word, what could it be?
It was fun. In the end, it was overall very much fun.
What do you think will make you want to come back?
I mean, it's nice that the route changes every year, so you experience every year something new. Sometimes there are also hard moments, right? But in the end, it was so much fun, and I really enjoyed the second part of the race. Being on the Balkans, there's so much going on the streets, and it's always a big adventure.
And maybe the body adapts as well, no?
Yes. Yeah. I was quite amazed how well my body can recover after the first week where I had huge problems with saddle sores and knee pain, and got so much better during the second half. But in the end it was fun overall.
Next to join a growing gaggle of riders in Kalamata is Hélène Fromenty, Cap 134. She secures the top 10 finish in the Flinter category and is more than happy with her lot.
I think I've been focusing on myself the whole time. I mean, when it happened that I was close to someone, maybe I would like push a little bit or try to do something. When I was not so far from Nicole, it was a bit funny. And but she really wanted a fifth position, and then Katarina arrived. But no, I mean, I honestly could not have been faster or sleep less than I did. So I'm amazed by the first Flinters performance, but that's completely not something I could do. So I'm super fine in my position. But still, I was happy to push myself and to try to do my best. And I wanted to do it within 15 days. So I think mission accomplished. It was weird, like a whole race I was thinking, oh, you're doing this, like this thing you've been hearing about for so many years, and I was not really realizing I was into it, you know? Yeah. And also I didn't went too much on the social media, and so those pictures, those stuff, those posts that normally you see the other people, the name on the tracking, I was not really realizing I was part of it, but I think it will come in the next days, probably.
Yeah, you were very much one of the dot there.
Thank you so much.
Obviously, when you've spent 15 days on the road, chances are you'll carry a certain whiff or partial pong with you as the finish line beckons. But at the same time, this could be the first chance to really meet new people and make a good first impression. Next into Kalamata, Dan Sharp, Cap 295, brushing his teeth.
That's my favourite arrival so far.
Just to give what's going on here, a rider's just arrived. He was brushing his teeth. So he would arrive clean on the finish line. And yeah, now he just gave a hug to David. Well, it's a fresh breath. Thank you. That's really thoughtful. So what about your training? Do you think your training was adapted to TCR? I remember you telling me that your training was going to the pub.
So, what? If you get me a pint, I'll tell you.
Is it all right?
Yeah?
Deal. I'll go and get you a beer. Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Fully alcoholic.
Yeah,
please.
Fully alcoholic. I'm here to stamp your card.
Oh, yeah. We need to do that, don't we?
Yeah. And take your tracker when you go.
Most of the field are either in Greece, near Greece, or very much on their way to Greece, which means the conditions for cycling are hot, sweaty, and slightly uncomfortable. Time for a Sophie Explains.
One thing I've noticed today is that many riders were not trying to grind faster, they were trying to ride cooler. Some waited until sunset, others woke up at 3 in the morning just to avoid the hottest hours of the day. So, why does heat make cycling so much harder? Well, I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Today, the heat. So why is riding in the heat so difficult? When you ride your bike, only about 20 to 25% of the energy your body produces actually moves you forward. The rest, almost 80%, becomes heat. And then the sweat adds even more heat from the outside, so your body suddenly has one job that becomes more important than anything else, keeping your core temperature around 37 degrees. Because almost every chemical reaction inside your body depends on temperature. And around 37, it's where your body works at its best. So how does your body keep itself cool? It has two main strategies. First is send much blood to your skin because that blood carries heat. By bringing it closer to the surface, the heat can escape in the air and your skin basically becomes a giant radiator. Second, your body starts producing sweat and that sweat evaporates. It carries even more heat away. But here's the catch. Your heart is the pump that sends all the blood in your body. So normally, most of the blood it pumps goes to your muscles. But when it's hot, it suddenly has to supply both your muscles and your skin. And because you're sweating, you're also losing water, so there is less blood to circulate. Your heart responds by beating faster, trying to keep both your muscles and your cooling system supplied with blood. But because more blood is being sent to your skin, your muscles get a little less. That's why the same effort suddenly feels much harder. So what happens if your body cannot keep up? Most of the time your cooling system works, but if you're producing heat faster than you can lose it, your core temperature keeps rising. Long before things become dangerous, your body starts sending warning signs. Your heart rate climbs, the same effort suddenly feels much harder. You may feel dizzy or nauseous. Those are all the signs that your body is struggling to get rid of heat. If your cooling system still can't keep up and your core temperature rises above around 40 degrees, you've entered what doctors called a heat stroke. And at that point, your brain and your organs can no longer function properly. It's a medical emergency. But here's something very fascinating and useful. Your brain doesn't wait until you reach a heat stroke to protect you. Long before that, scientists believe it constantly monitors signals like body temperature, heart strain, and dehydration. As those signals become more alarming, it deliberately makes exercise feel harder. It reduces the amount of muscles it recruits, forcing you to slow down before your body overheats. In other words, your body is not trying to stop you from finishing, it's trying to make sure you're still alive when you do. So what can riders actually do to help their bodies? Quite a lot, actually. Every strategy has exactly the same goal, help your body lose heat faster than it produces it. That's why so many riders avoid the hottest hours of the day, they wear light-colored clothing because it reflects more sunlight instead of absorbing it. They stop at every fountain they can find, not just because the water feels nice, but because as it evaporates, it carries heat away from the body. That's also why riders often pour water over their neck, their armpits, or even their groin. Those areas contain large blood vessels close to the skin, so cool the blood there and you help cool the whole body. Hydration matters too. Sweating doesn't just make you lose water, it makes you lose blood volume. And the less blood you have circulating, the harder your heart has to work. And finally, sometimes the smartest strategy is simply to slow down. Because the harder you push, the more heat you produce. Sometimes riding a little slower in the heat actually gets you to the finish faster. Now, if you will excuse me, all that talk about heat has made me really hot, so I'm going to find the sea.
Let's hear from some riders further back in the race, starting with Philip Bullens, Cap 54. Earlier this week, he spoke to Sophie about a community he founded called Triple Challenge.
I'm a 65-year-old man, but I'm coping and doing and enjoying and crying and doing whatever, but it's nice, it's an adventure I will never forget. And I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for a good cause. Let me explain. 5 years ago, I co-founded Triple Challenge. It's a community that always sports with three challenges. You sport for your well-being, for the other, and for a better planet. That's what we always do. And we sport with people who don't have the possibilities to sport. For instance, because they can't walk, or because they can't see, or maybe their head works in a different way. But we sport together with them, and it's an amazing feeling. Yeah, that's what we do. And so I decided to do this year for a 5-year crowdfunding, 5 for 5 challenge. We need more wheelchairs to sport with them because the community is growing. I plant a little flag each time I arrive at this checkpoint. Everybody can crowdfund me. And the fun part is, and I think it's never done before, I'm doing the TCR karaoke. So whenever somebody crowdfunds me, they can pick a song, send me a song, and I'm trying to do the karaoke when I'm riding. And it, you know, it's something funny because this race is tough for everyone. And for me, when I start singing and doing it for the other, it gives me positive energy. People react positively, and so I keep pushing. So yeah.
Control Point 4 in Albania is set to close in a couple of days, and riders continue to pass through what will be their final mandatory stop before Kalamata. Race volunteer Lisa is on hand with the microphone, and she spoke to Mika Lusterinen, Cap 269.
I've been running single speed.
Single speed?
Yeah.
What happened?
My charger for the test broke.
Oh no.
So, like in the start pretty much. And I tried in Trondheim to charge my shifters and it didn't work. So I have been running the whole race single speed.
The whole race?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh Jesus, that.
Yeah.
Can you manually shift it?
No.
Oh, it's just stuck on whatever gear.
Yeah. It's alright, like for flats it's perfect, and
oh, but for
the uphills are the problem pretty much.
Yeah, that looks horrible. Yeah. That's stuck on the big chain ring in the front.
Yeah. But,
oh well. Well done for getting here with that.
Lisa also speaks to Lucas Muller, who's thinking ahead to the finish and one specific Greek treat.
How's your day been? You said you're enjoying the mountains?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. And the weather, like, it's a little bit cloudy, not too sunny. It's perfect.
And what are you most looking forward to in Greece?
I like moussaka.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I definitely will eat moussaka.
Has that been your main motivation, riding down the continent, just to get
everything? Yeah, to eat moussaka.
Earlier, Andrew Phillips, Cap 00A, sent us his final dispatch from the peaks of Parkour 4. Now the team get to speak to him in person, including his former riding partner, John Endres. Race reporter Jake sat Andrew down to ask him if, finally, after all the mid-race philosophizing, he'd finally worked out his why. He wouldn't whip out some Descartes, would he? No, he mustn't.
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I reckon it might be as simple as this. I stink, therefore I am.
Proof that you exist, the fact that you can do this sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess. You know, coming over the final ridgeline with incredible views out over the Peloponnesian mountains, I had suddenly that real feeling of having crossed the continent and having done something that is physically really difficult, and that's rewarding. And I really suddenly allowed myself to like get hit by that sense of time and space, which I hadn't let myself do before, because if you take your eye off the day and put it on the finish line, you know, that way madness lies. You have to ride hour by hour and day by day. So even letting my guard down and allowing my mind to wander for a few minutes with 20 kilometers to go was difficult enough.
So do you understand why now everyone is asking for like an easy ending parkour?
I've always understood. I think it's a do as I say, not as I do thing. Perhaps it's best we don't ride our own risks.
In ultra racing, it's easy to focus on the individual achievements, the seemingly superhuman nature of these ordinary people who power themselves across an entire continent on two wheels. But behind every rider, there is always a family, or friends, or whoever it might be, making space, giving permission, providing support. In Kalamata, Kirin Tauber, cap number 7.
You've made it?
Yes, finally.
Now it's time for vacation.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I was pushing today since 3 o'clock in the morning. But it went well. It's so crazy how the body adapts and recovers every night. And you don't sleep, and still, when you give him food and water and it works, it's crazy.
You had a nice welcome committee.
Nice to have them here.
And we have one more. We have time until Saturday to relax and have time together.
It's your partner and your...
My wife and my 9-month-old baby, Anton.
Oh,
it's so nice that they're here.
Yeah.
And I miss them so much.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I postponed for 1 year because I wanted to do it in the... 2025, but my wife was so fit with her pregnant body that we did another bike tour from Turin-Nizza. but now I thought it's one of my, not last chances, but now it's a time to do something like that. And I'm happy that she let me do it.
Yeah.
And next time I will do a bike trip with him.
That's it for day 15 at TCO number 12. Just time for a recap of the day from race reporter Sophie.
Today in Control Car number 2, we spend the whole day at the finish line welcoming riders home. We're now into the top 60 and the finish area is slowly starting to feel like a little family reunion. One of my favorite things is watching the riders who finished a few days ago. They don't leave straight away. They spend their days here cheering on new finishers, ordering fetchers, Mito's beers and proper meal while sitting down. And you know what? They are even using knives and forks. A first for some of them after 2 weeks on the road. Every new finisher is the perfect excuse to order another round of Mythos, although I have to say about 95% of the riders crossing the line so far have all ordered exactly the same thing, a non-alcoholic beer. So today I've asked a few finishers what was the plan for the next few days. They answer with surprisingly consistent, eat, sleep, sleep again, eat, swim, eat, sleep, eat again. Turns out finishing the TCR is just the beginning of another ultra distance event, competitive eating. Fashion moment. It seems every rider stopped at the very same souvenir shop to pick up the perfect tourist t-shirt. Glitter, gold print, oversized, it doesn't matter. They are all proudly wearing Kalamata across their chest. Tourist t-shirts became popular in the 1950s when mass tourism took off. For the first time, people could literally wear a souvenir from their holiday. And I have to admit, they look cool, but they are also incredibly convenient. I know now exactly which beach I want to visit, the one printed right across Josh Ebert's right nipple. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl.
Gossip
girl is real?
Rumor has it that the unofficial ice cream jersey is now attracting more attention than the actual podium. Spotted Emiliano Baravelle, cap 358, casually teasing Nicole for a modest total of 94 ice cream during the race. Amateurs. Real champions don't buy ice cream one at a time. They buy them by the tub. At this rate, I think we may have to introduce anti-doping tests for pistachio and stracciatella. Also spotted Susanna Bukuga, cap 158, realizing today that she had already crossed two-thirds of Europe by bike, and simply said, maybe I'm not that bad after all. It's amazing what a long bike ride can do for your self-esteem. Tonight, there is 64 riders at the finish line, and with more than 60 riders between CP4 and the finish, it's about to get very crowded here. Today, I had a chat with Seb Lehmann, cap 64, also known as the happiest cyclist in the world. I think he's found the secret to happiness, and I really want to share it with you. You don't have to win to be happy. So wherever you are tonight, keep riding your own ride. And in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Don't forget, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost.Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.